Sister Jay Stuckey's with us tonight, and I asked her if she would come and just sing whatever's on her heart. And she tried to get out of it, but I wouldn't let her. So we're going to ask her to come tonight and sing for us. We appreciate all the talent that God has given the bride and that they are using it for His glory. It's wonderful to see gifts among the bride.
I wrote this song. I was really inspired by a minister that preached at our church, and it kind of brought me back to things Brother Branham said about having a policy of eternal life. And so, anyway, I hope it's a blessing. Some guy tried to sell me insurance, but I thought the premiums were too high, and I already had a policy that did not cost me a dime. I tried to convince him I had coverage. Oh, blessed insurance, Jesus is mine. He said, what you have won't lay you in the ground, but what I've got will get me out just fine. Well, I've got a policy called eternal life, and its benefits are absolutely free. And no worries of a clause, there's no need because it was paid in full at Calvary. No exceptions or limitations, no disadvantages, no, not one. Oh no, I've never regretted my decision when I signed.
Brother Branham said, well, that won't get you in the grave. He said, well, it'll get me back out, though. I'm not worried so much about getting in the grave. I told my wife, I said, when I go, I know my parents will throw a fit, but I said, don't spend $10,000 on a box to put me in. Brother Branham said, if it's a spoonful of ashes, he'll speak and I'll come forth. Just put me in a furnace and burn that old carcass up for a couple $100. I don't need a $10,000 box. I've got an eternal body waiting in the heavens somewhere. So, amen. There was martyred saints that they were eaten by lions and burned at the stake and everything. That won't hinder them from coming forth on that day. So, amen. If you want to spend $10,000 on it, I mean, spend it while I'm here, not when I'm gone. So, amen. Give me a box to drive up and down the road in or something, not one to put me in the ground. Brother Anthony tonight, he wasn't actually late. He was outside very sick with a migraine and about to throw up. And Brother Layton went out and prayed for him. And as you see, I don't think he can play drums very good with a migraine. So praise the Lord. God's still Hebrews 13 and 8. Amen. We've got a precious friend with us tonight, Brother Lineal Yance. He came all the way from Johnson City to be with us tonight, and God has blessed him to write some songs about the bride, and we sure enjoy the ministry of songs that God's given him. He was with us last Labor Day weekend, and he text messaged me a few days ago, and he said, when I'm in that area again, he said, I'm going to give you a CD of the new live concert that he did, and I said, well, what are you doing this weekend? So it just worked out for him to be here. So he'll have some CDs in the back tonight and tomorrow night, Lord willing, for sale of some music that he's written and CDs they've done. And I'm sure it'll be a blessing to you. It's been a blessing to me. We've got quite a few of them. I think we've got all of them now. So it's been a blessing to see how God has used him to write songs to the bride. So we're just going to ask him to come and sing two or three, whatever he's got on his heart tonight. And let's just, if you know him, sing them with him. If you don't know them, buy the CD so you can sing them next time.
Good point.
I like that song. If I could write a song like that, I'd make a CD. I did write one time, but something like that. What was it? I got a piece of the rock. I got blessed assurance in his name. I'm covered beyond the grave. At Calvary my premium was paid. I got a piece of the rock. 1, 2, 3. Moses wherever he trod. My full coverage don't ever stop. I got a piece of the rock. If you want to hear the rest of it, it's on the CD. I'll show you. You know, Sis Bryant mentions a song, and you don't never go in a men's church. His wife tell you what her favorite song is, and you don't sing it. You're asking for it. And I was thinking the other day, not only did Eliezer have to convince Rebecca and her family to leave home, but to follow him. That's quite a task right there. Did you know when, excuse me, when they got, the journey was over, you know what she did? She jumped off that camel. She didn't say, bye, Eliezer. She went straight to Isaac. He had convinced her so much what a great guy this was. So Eliezer was sent to get a bride for Isaac. Found Rebecca in a far and distant land. She believed every word he told her. She left home following a man to a place she'd never been before, to marry a man she'd never seen. She loved to hear him tell about Isaac following this camel train. Eliezer, tell me more. What's Isaac really look like? I've never seen him, yet I'm to be his bride. He say he has a home for me. I can't wait to walk through the door. Oh, I want to see him. Eliezer, tell me on this journey to meet Isaac. Rebecca said, I'm thirsty and it's hot. Eliezer said, don't worry. Here's some ever-present water from the rock. She said, I'm hot. Bring something to eat. Well, here's some spiritual food, new season for you. I brought everything you need. Remember last year I told you somewhere in Jeffersonville or somewhere at Sagefield. You took me there last year. That's cool. Eliezer, have you seen him? What's he really like? Yes, I've seen him in the sage field late one night. His garment blowing in the wind. Then I spoke his name. I said, Jesus? He turned and looked at me. And I've never been the same. Help me say, Eliezer, tell me more. What side it really looked like. I've never seen him. Yet I'm to be his wife. Say yes. Can't wait to walk through the door. Oh, I wanna see him. Any easier to be born. Hallelujah. Tell me more, Eliezer. I get so hungry for him sometime I just about holler in. Come on, Brother Brown, tell me some more. Oh, he can tell you some stuff, can he? You know, a lot of the move in the land now to prove this message wrong. So he said something here and he said it different the next time, for crying out loud. Don't you go back and study Abraham's law, that lying prophet. But what did God have to say about him? In fact, every one of us is his children, the seed of Abraham. I'm just excited to be here. Of course, at my age, I'm excited to be about anywhere. So, so I stole that from my cousin George. So. Now, I wanted someone to get this song to George Johnson. He, last time I talked with him, I was getting ready to introduce it to him, and he was just at the point of death then. And all he could say was, he just hugged me and said, just don't ever stop praying for me. But it wasn't long before he's gone. You know, my cousin was voted bass singer of the century. What's that make me? Nothing. I'm a songwriter and a message, but he can't compare with me. Well, I'll shut. But anyway, I wanted to get this song to him. But in the spring of my life, everything was blooming, pure and white. I run and play through fields of green, listening to the robins sing. Then came the summer of my life, lazy days and starry nights. Those days would never end. And I felt that cool September wind. You're going to hear the rest of it. I'll sing it tomorrow night. He asked me to do a song. We're going to clap our hands in the key of G. Oh, this ain't the time to get discouraged. This ain't the time. Turn and run. You can't find your back to the devil. You can't defend yourself carrying that loaded gun.
I think we can say amen to that. It's not time to fight your brother. It's not time to argue over little petty things that don't matter anyhow. It's time to stand for the word and stand for one another. Brother Branham said we need one another now more than we ever did. I don't know about you, but I don't think he just minced words and just said things to be saying them. But I believe he meant it when he said it. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's just stand, if you would, before Brother Danny comes. Let's sing a song together. I don't even know if he knows it or not, but he'll figure it out, I guess. G. Amen. Is this your desire tonight? Oh, Holy Spirit, reign. Just reign. My comforter, my friend. Lord, how I need your touch again. Oh, Holy Spirit.
Desire this evening, isn't it? Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit would come and, amen, have His way in our lives. That's what I want. And He promised if we come under expectation, He'd give us what we'd have need of. So the whole key for us tonight is to be expecting. Amen. Amen. So I'm not going to ask you if you're expecting your show whether you are or not. Amen. So if we come hungry, the Lord can help us. Amen. So we just greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's just good to see so many familiar faces, and then quite a few that I do not know as well. But amen, Brother Daniel, it's certainly good to see you. And amen, Sister Shannon, and I think that's William. I'm not sure. These kids grow so fast anymore that, amen, Brother Trevor, God bless you. And certainly a privilege to be here. We want to thank Brother Nathan for the invitation, amen, to come. And we don't want to just come and just say something. We want the Lord to help you. And I know the only way He can do that is if I get myself out of the way. And we certainly want Him to do that. So we bring greetings from the assembly in Sarasota, Florida, the House of Fellowship. And they want you to know that they're praying for these services as well. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Why don't we just bow our heads? Lord Jesus, it is such a privilege to be able to be with children of God, that children of like faith, Lord, contending for the truth. I pray tonight, Lord, that you would just take each one of us. You know our hearts. You know our needs. That you would move us out of the way so that you can speak directly to those needs. Lord, a man can only study and be moved by your Spirit to put things down on pages. But Lord, it takes you to deliver it to the hearts of the people. And I pray, Father, that you would anoint my lips, that you would anoint the ears of the hearer. Lord, we testify back to you that we believe you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our prophet taught us that the way you dealt with a situation one way is the way you always will. And Father, may you do that for each one. Lord, may they come hungry. Father, may they come, Lord, expecting not to be entertained, Lord, but to move deeper, Lord, into their relationship with you. That's our desire. Father, is seeing the signs all around us, the time is so late. Lord, it is high time, Lord, you said, to wake out of our sleep. Yes, Father, I just pray your move now. In Jesus' name we ask it for your glory. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I just don't want to linger too much here. I just want to get right into the Word with the help of the Lord. If you're turning your Bibles, very familiar scripture, we want to read one verse out of John 3, and that's the 16th verse. Amen. Then we'll let you have your seats. Now we know that Brother Branham has taught us that the world likes their entertainment, and they love to enter into that entertainment. They get into the spirit of what they're doing. Now he said with the Christian, it's the same way. Right. Now our spirit is different because our spirit is clean, it is fresh. But yet we should enjoy the things of God. We didn't come here tonight to get depressed, did we? We come here tonight to see God come off the pages to us and speak directly to our hearts. I want Him to speak to me tonight. Amen. And so we want to enter in. We want to get into the spirit of the Word so that He can do that. And so Brother Branham made a statement I thought was tremendous. And this will go along with what I'm going to preach. But he was speaking to anointed ones at the end time. If you're familiar with that message, you hear how he really spoke very hard on against the Trinity. In fact, he called it those three unclean spirits there in the book of Revelations. And towards the somewhere in the service towards the end, he was speaking to the Trinitarians. And he said, you might be here in this service. He says, we're not angry with you. He said, we love you. He said, and if I didn't believe that, I'd never leave this church till I got on my knees and said, God, make me right. He said, I don't want that arrogant, selfish spirit mixed with mine. Amen. I want my spirit to be pure, clean, and brotherly love. Amen. Holy with the Holy Spirit. And if someone does anything wrong with me, to me, that's all right. Now that's quite a statement. Amen. That's all right. And though I might have the right to get back at them, I don't want it in my life. I want that love. I want to be ready to correct with love that absolutely answers out yonder. Amen. So I think that is something we take to heart. We want our spirit to be right. We don't want it mixed with a selfish, arrogant attitude. We want it to be right. All right. That's a character then that's willing to be molded. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. That's a scripture we're all familiar with. I want to read one out of 1 John 2:15. Amen. Amen. John 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So I want to ask you a question. If He says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. But yet it said, He so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So what is the world God loves? All right. And that's what we want to speak to you tonight. The world God loves. Amen. Exodus 32:7. Amen. For the sake of time, I'm just going to move into this. I'm unfamiliar with this church and its ways. You know, some churches, they're used to fast preaching. Others are used to long preaching. Well, all I can say is my church is used to me, and you have to figure the rest of that out. Amen. But Exodus 32:7, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt, with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and said unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of I'll give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Now, we're taught that the Spirit that is in us controls us. How many know that? And so, if it's the Spirit of Christ in us, the body of Christ then will be Christ-like in its feelings and in its actions. It'll be Christ-like, it'll do the works of Christ, for God wants to work in the body of Christ as He did in the physical, corporal body of the Lord Jesus. He wants to work in this body of Christ, and if He can only get them to a place where they stand still long enough, that He can place them on the foundation of His Word so He can work. God cannot work contrary to His Word. So we're talking this evening about the world that God loves. Satan knows, and he constantly studies our life. He constantly studies our nature. He constantly studies our habits. And in all of those things in your life, He can use them if they're not covered over. With Moses, we will see that his great failing was his temper. Is that right? And the prophet of God taught us Satan has a right at a punch. He has a right at a place in your life to hit you. He said that's the place you have to keep covered over with prayer. You have to keep it constantly covered. Otherwise, Satan will use it. And you know what the term of that then becomes? You become the term that is called a loose cannon. How many has ever heard of that? A loose cannon was a term that was brought up out of the age of sails and boats and everything, where in the warships they'd have their cannons that they had to have block and tackle to keep them fixed to the deck. But if those broke, this cannon then weighed a couple tons, would roll back and forth across the deck. It could kill people. It could put a hole in the boat. It caused great damage. But that's what our life is. With habits and nature that's unguarded or covered over or changed. Amen. It then becomes a loose cannon, and it can become a problem in the church. It can become a problem in the home. You know, a lot of times you'll find out the problem of counsel is people just are loose cannons. You might as well say amen and get along with me right now. It's a good place to start. We don't want to take three services to get used to one another, all right? We'll get past that. But see, there's places in your life that you know and that you alone know that has to stay covered. Weaknesses, maybe no doubt you've prayed about them. You said, God, I could serve you better if you would take these out of my life. Why didn't he take them out of your life? Because he wants you to pray. Amen. He wants you to stay on your guard. I'm not talking about filthy things. I'm not talking about habits that you shouldn't be doing. But I'm talking about places you know, like temper. Some of you are quick-tempered. I won't get into who you are. But if you're Irish, you could be quick-tempered. If you're German, it's hard for you to forgive. How many Germans we got here? All over the building. Amen. How many Irish? Maybe all of you are Irish. I don't know. Quick tempers. You know, my misfortune is I got both in my family tree. So then you have to keep these things covered over. Brother Branham said one way he knew that he had the Holy Ghost was how? When he knew that God had dealt with his temper the way he had. He knew that God had changed him. And you also have to know how God is changing your life. Amen. To do things God's way is so important that Jesus told the disciples, don't preach, don't testify, but you go up into the upper room and you wait until you're endued with power from on high. Then go preach. Amen. Then you'll be a witness. Amen. 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 God, Jesus, just shut it down. He shut it down until they met Him and were filled with His Spirit. Now, when Jesus, and I'm going to move quick here tonight with the help of the Lord. Jesus, when He was on the road to Emmaus, He's now dealing with a bunch of people that don't have a clue why things have happened in the last few days the way they've happened. They've seen the one they followed and thought was going to become the King of Israel. They've seen Him die screaming, amen, my God, why have You forsaken Me? And everything they thought they knew seemed to have come down around them. And now they're thinking, what is happening? What has happened to all our plans? We thought God was setting up a kingdom just like it was in the days of David. Now we see it's all destroyed. The one we followed is dead. And so now Jesus steps out on the road with them. They don't recognize Him. And He walks along and He begins to speak to them. And they said, why is your countenance down? Why are you sad? And they said, are you a stranger in Israel? Do you not know the things that have been going on around here? He said, the one we followed has been crucified. And then Jesus said, O fools and slow of hearts, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Amen. So what? He said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? Notice what He points to. When He's walking on the road, He doesn't point to His glory. He points to His suffering. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things to enter into His glory? So it was His suffering that the disciples couldn't understand. And it's the same in any generation. Nobody can understand suffering. Nobody understands the purpose of criticism and the purpose of the trial that you have to go through. Amen. So instead what we'll see is we'll see people floundering because they don't realize that all these things work together for good. Amen. To them that are called according to the purpose of God. So if you are called by God, amen, your life purpose is to be molded into that calling. Amen. Brother Branham said that the Word produces its own life. The Word produces its own life. Eve swapped that word for personal knowledge. The church today has swapped it for men's understanding of that word. Moses had a great understanding of God until he met the burning bush. And when he met the burning bush, that bush had what Moses lacked. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. And what did the burning bush show him? His failure. He had understanding, but he had to understand his failure in order to see what God, amen, was trying to accomplish in his life. He thought he could fulfill what God wanted him to by just understanding what God was telling him. But he had to meet a burning bush because it had what he lacks. Amen. The Word has what the church lacks. Isn't that true? Amen. The Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You have to be led by the Spirit of God to be a son of God. For you have not received the spirit of adoption again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Church, do you know that's the purpose tonight? That as the Spirit ministers the Word, your spirit should be receiving back saying, that's me. That's who He's talking about. I am now identifying myself by the Word. Hallelujah. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. There is that word again, suffering. If we suffer with Him. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. It's essential that I read and go through some of these things just to establish this foundation. I want you to have patience with me with the help of the Lord. All right. The arena that we're fighting in today is a very emotional one. And when we see families that are separating with one another, churches splitting, people leaving the message, saying all manner of evils, saying all manner of lies, it can be hard to keep your balance. It can be hard to keep your balance, and it can be hard to keep your spirit right. Brother and sister, what we're seeing take place around us is the apostasy. It has to happen. There has to be falling away. We don't take no pleasure in that. Nobody takes pleasure in seeing somebody fall away. We don't even hold enmity against these people. We don't hold enmity against these people. It's not me here today trying to prove them wrong. It's not what it's about, though it's tempting. But each one has to go to their own place. Each one has to fulfill what they have come to earth to do. Is that right? So we must realize what we're seeing happening is people blaspheming the work of the Holy Spirit without blinking an eye.
That's right.
So easy, the prophet said, to blaspheme the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's such a dangerous time that then we must endeavor to keep our spirits clean. We don't want to be cluttered up with grudges.
Right.
We don't want to be held captive by our own imagination. Because these things are expected, these things are looked for. The people that are involved is what makes it so painful.
That's right.
Am I speaking to anybody that knows what I'm talking about?
Amen.
It's painful. It's a painful time we're living in. It's hard. It's hard to take. Paul said it'd be perilous times. That meant hard to take, hard to bear. We live in times it's hard to take. It's hard to bear. It's hard to get along. It's hard not to go online and try to do something about it. But it's so important for us as believers to keep our spirit clean because God wants to use us for something else. This message, I believe with all my heart, is the vindicated Word of God. And what is proving that vindication is not pictures, is not online reports. Come on, church. It is you that are proving whether this message is the truth and vindicated work of God.
Amen.
You have to be the one to prove it.
Amen.
Because it's, hey, you've heard the tapes as much as I have. It's Christ working now in His body.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So now, this hour then, it calls for self-examination. So what does it matter if I prove you to be wrong? If I prove you to be wrong or you prove me to be wrong, if my spirit isn't right in the first place. Amen. God wants our spirit in a place where He can use you.
Amen.
Amen. Now, you take this up with the Lord while I'm preaching this one tonight, all right? Amen. Amen. So I'm going to just bring some very familiar things to you. Brother Branham said that down through the ages, the children could not figure out God's love. They thought that God's love would be something along the line of a parental love that would mean no suffering, no hardship. We would all like that, wouldn't you? No suffering, no hardship. Just everything handed to you. Everything given to you. And then somebody say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You did it exactly the way I did. Amen. But that's not the way God does things. See, they think parental love is this God, this non-judgmental Christ. Isn't that true? But God said that His love was elective love. Do you want to know how God, you know God loves you? It's because He elected you to hear the truth. And not just hear the truth, but to be doers of the truth. That's how you know whether you're elected or not. Seeds are coming to fruition. Amen. So, amen, His love is proven by the fact that you are chosen unto salvation because God chose you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So then if God chose you, if He elected you, He's a sovereign God.
Right.
He can use you for whatever He wants to use you for.
Amen.
If He wants to commit you to death, He'll commit you to death. If He wants to commit you to suffering, He'll commit you to suffering. But it is His prerogative. It is His sovereignty that He does these things. Even revelation is sovereign.
That's right.
You can't have revelation because you say, well, I know what the prophet said. No, God has to give you what is behind the speaking of the word. So that is sovereign. So we should be the most thankful people. Amen. On the face of the earth to be the recipients of this truth. Not just to hear it, but to see it. Amen. Are you with me?
Amen.
Amen. But his purpose is, because he's not the author of frustration, he's not the author of those things, he has a purpose in what he's doing. And his purpose is that after we have suffered a while, we would be made perfect, we'd be established, we would be strengthened, we would be settled. Job said he would put strength in us. I want his strength. You see, he suffered and he learned obedience by what he suffered. And he was actually made perfect by the things that he suffered. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now I'll read to you something very familiar. He said, unless we suffer with him, we can't reign with him. You have to suffer to reign. Now listen, I'm not here to tell you you're gonna lose your house, you're gonna lose your job, you're gonna go through financial hardships. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that. That's life. Are you with me? That's life. But the hardships that comes with being associated with the Word, that's where the suffering is coming in. He said, and if you suffer, unless you suffer with Him, we cannot reign with Him. You have to suffer to reign. The reason for this, character is simply never made without it. Character is a victory, not a gift. A man without character can't reign because power apart from character is satanic. You remember the story Brother Branham talked about when he was up in, I believe it was New Hampshire, somewhere up there in New England. Anyway, and he's preaching. And he said the Holy Spirit had warned him while he was up in the bush and said, there's a trap. Satan has laid a trap for you, but he never told him what it was. Now, isn't that just like God? He'll tell you, you watch out for something, but he won't tell you what it is. Why? He wants you, amen, to have faith in him and to be on your toes. He don't just give you the manual for everything. All right. He wants you to trust. Amen. Faith has come with trusting. Yes. Isn't that true? Amen. So now he's there. Now he goes down into the meeting and he's preaching. He had a young couple on the front row and they're acting up and they're acting in a manner that should had them kicked out of the church, obviously. And so, amen, Brother Bam kept telling them to quit what they were doing. They was climbing all over each other. He said they wouldn't quit. They got worse. He said, then... He said, the Holy Spirit told him, they're in your hands. Do with them what you'll do, what you want. And he said, right then, all kinds of thoughts begin to hit him. Right. Say they'll be blind and they'll be blind. Say they're drop dead, they're drop dead. It's a great temptation to use your power that God gives you.
Oh my.
Come on. But because there was a character there,
Yes. Amen,
to guard that. Do not use the word, amen, just to put somebody out and to tell them, oh, it's so easy now to just to use the word loosely. Can I just run you through some scenarios? You remember there was a man by the name of Saul. He went down and began to slay Gibeonites because he's trying to win the popular opinion of the people and to say, I'm on your side. I'm helping you. And he's killing Gibeonites. And he didn't realize he was messing with a covenant that was hundreds of years old. But God had given that covenant through Joshua that they are under the protection of God. I won't harm them.
All right.
Saul, in his zeal, went and killed them. Killed many of them. And you know what happened under David's reign? David wasn't the one that done it. It was Saul. But under David's reign, a famine hit him. Isn't that true? And David sought the Lord. Why is this famine happening? And God told him it's because of Saul and the Gibeonites. What was it? It was characterless to not use the word the way God intended it to be used. And God, when He wants you to handle the Word, He wants you to handle the Word the way He would. And I'm not talking, listen, this sermon isn't for the Baptists, it isn't for the walls, it isn't for the chairs, it's for you. Because this is what God intends. Listen, amen, people say, well, Brother Branham could do it. No, it's for you. Hallelujah. So this special condition is for every age. There's no age free of it. There's no true believer free from it. It's of God. It's the will of God. It's needful. And we need the Lord to teach us the truth that we are to suffer and be Christ-like in doing it. Everybody knows the truth of suffering, but the truth of being Christ-like, and it's another thing, isn't it? How many is with me or how many has left the service? Amen. You know, my church looks at me just exactly the same way. What are you saying? Anyway. But he said, we need the Lord to teach us that. We need the Lord to teach us the truth of that and be Christ-like in doing it. Because love suffereth long and is kind. Again, the scripture says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. He said, that's blessed. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which was before you. Amen. So again, he said the cloudy skies and storms of life are no signs of God's disapproval. Neither are bright skies and still waters signs of his love and approval. His approval in any of us is only in the beloved. His approval of you is only in who is in you. Hallelujah. His love is elective, which he had for us before the foundation of the world. Does he love us? Yes. But how shall we know? We know because he said so. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? So then the character of the believer is to fulfill the word, that we would be so surrendered to his will that our will is laid down. To do that takes a surrendering of pride. It takes a surrendering of ourself. God could push us through a pipe and pull us out on the other side and say, blessed is he that overcometh. But you didn't have anything to overcome. If he does it that way, he just pushes you through. But he says, you have to make the decision. You've got to make that decision. I have to make decisions for myself. And in doing that, we show our faith and respect to God. There's tremendous insight into what I have been saying. There's tremendous insight in the life of the believers of the scripture, where we see they had the opportunity for revenge or for a wrong committed against them, but then they refused to do it because God showed them that's not what you're to do. You remember David on the run? He's being persecuted by his father-in-law. And he's on the run, and he's in between two fires. Philistines are after him. Saul's after him with all his men. David can't have any place of rest. And he's running and he's running and he's running. He can't find no place. Well, finally he ends up in the cave of En-Gedi. And he's there. And in comes Saul. And he's sleeping. And David is there. His men are there. And you know what his men said? His men said, God has given him into your hands. Now your day of misery is over. Take his life. Now, what would your response be? It would seem justified. Because he had the anointing on him to be king. Saul had an evil spirit on him. Let's just cut him out. But you know what he said? He told Saul, he said, behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord hath delivered thee into my hand in this cave. And some bade me kill you. Some bade me kill you. There's always somebody that's going to try to get you to go against what the word desires you to do. There's a way that seemeth right, and then there's a way that's right. He said, some bade me kill you, but mine eye spared thee. And I said, I'll not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Why could David say that? Because he had such fear of God. Joseph's life was molded by his experiences. You remember as he comes out as a teenager and he had these visions that he was going to rule over his brothers, and he comes out and he just spits it out. God told me, you're going to bow down before me. Well, and what teenager wouldn't like saying that? God told me, you're going to bow down. And all his brothers, they didn't say, oh, well, bless the Lord, when can we do it? They didn't say that. In fact, they got angry with him and they hated him because he had the favor of his father. Then he had another one. He said he saw his mother and father doing it too. My, this is great. Just like somebody starting out with a message and they use it like a bowl in a china shop. Amen. You know what? He had the vision. It was a true vision, but his character wasn't ready to fulfill the vision. So there's parts of the vision God never told him. He showed him his rule, but he never showed him the pit. He never showed his brothers trying to kill him. He never showed him being sold into slavery. He never showed him working in Potiphar's house. See, we love the vision, but to go through that, to get to that part, he had to go through all of that in order to fulfill it. And God used every one of those steps to mold his character, that by the time he got there ready to fulfill it, his character did not hinder the vision. Oh, brother and sister, that's where God wants you and I tonight. He don't want our character hindering the word. He wants to fulfill in the word. Amen. Amen. You might as well help me or I'll look at you longer. You want a service to go quick? You say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God, amen, does not want our character to hinder the vision. That's why you see so many people, they try to squirrel all the way around the word, trying to make it fit them. God never sent you the message to make it, amen, you, rather make it fit you, but you are to fit it. And in order to fit it, and when it come to you, you weren't ready. He had to mold you.
That's right.
He had to mold you. Listen, brother and sister. Amen. I have to be molded. You have to be molded. I can look back at all the experiences of my life and see when at the time I've gone through them, I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through. I'm doing a good job complaining about it. Amen. But God, rich in mercy. Amen. He just lets me go farther and farther until I can look back and I see it molds patience. Amen. It molds what he wants to wait upon him. He wants you to wait upon him. And Joseph, he didn't understand it. But by the time he got ready and his brothers actually did bow down to him, you know what he said? It was God that had you do what you did. I doubt it. At 17 years of age, laying on the back, on his back in that pit, he was looking up saying, "Thank you, God, for all that they're saying about me." Come on, church. The way some of you may be acting right now, and all these things are being said about your prophet and about the message about one another. Oh, it's so easy to pull that sword, that 10-foot sword, or plug it in, or whatever you do. And get on there and do something you shouldn't do. They are doing what they're called. But what is the world God loves then? What world did he die for? Brother Branham made the statement that this age would be characterless. It wouldn't have character. He said, there's only one thing you can take with you. He said, we come naked physically into the world, but naked spiritually, we will not leave it. We're going to take something with us. And what we have take, it will be all that we can take, nothing less, nothing more. So we better be real careful now to see that we take something that'll make us right before God. Amen. So what will we take with us? We will take our character.
Amen.
Our character. And that is what we will take with us. And what kind of character will you take with you? Will it be like his, whose character was molded by suffering in the fiery furnace of affliction? Or will it be the softness of this characterless Laodicean people? It's up to each one of us. For in that day, every man will bear his own burden. Notice the wording of that. His character is molded by affliction. And then the very characteristic of this age is to be characterless. Have you noticed the attitude of the people is one of entitlement instead of appreciation for what they've been through? Listen, there's so much entitlement now that people don't even remember what it was all about. They just know they're entitled to something. And they want it free. Satan is very good at stroking emotions of the people. We have it in America. If you deal with a person that feels they've been wrong, you're only dealing with them on an emotional level. You're not dealing with them on a level that's going to change anything. So what suffers first in the hands of unrestrained emotion? Truth. That's the first thing that suffers. It's truth. They just get all emotional. You'll see that exhibited in Numbers, the 13th chapter and the 14th chapter. Now, I want you to know, in Numbers 13, it says, God told Moses, go choose out men, princes of the tribes, and send them over and let them search out the land. So they examined the land for 40 days, and they come back with an evil report. 10 of them did. 12 of them said, stay with the word. 10 of them said, we can't do it. What was it? The Lord knew what those men would do. And he had Moses select rulers, which are men of influence. He had them select men of influence, but it is a test. It was the test of God to show the character of those that would stay with the word. What's happening? An evil report that Satan is playing up before the people, and the people totally abandon the word. And what Moses has said means nothing to them in the face of the announcement. We can't take the land. So you had Caleb on one side. He's trying to get the people to get still. But the people were too overcome with emotion. And so because he's overcome with emotion, they cried all night and they said, let's anoint a captain. Let's get a captain and let's go back to Egypt. So when the testing came, Egypt was greater to them than what the word was. And what they missed was that this was a place of testing. God brought them there to see whether they'd believe him or not, because he knew they wouldn't. Amen. So they failed. And the prophet said, and I hope you're staying with me on this, because I'm trying to come to a point here. The prophet said, we are now being, we have identified ourselves as full gospel people. Let's mold our character. We are invited to be molded in his image that we might reflect his presence. We are now invited to be molded into his image that might reflect his presence. Because the works that I do shall you do also. The life that I live, so shall you. We're invited by God to take him as an example. Isn't that wonderful? You are invited by God to take him as an example and let our character be molded like his. Then when we let his character be in us, we have become sons by having the mind of Christ, which is his character. Your mind makes your character. Your mind makes your character. So let the mind of that was in Christ be in you. And again he says in identification, let the mind of Christ come into us. For the Bible said, let the mind that was in Christ be in you. That changes our character. How many wants the mind of Christ? Yeah. Hallelujah. Again he said, when God sees that man can receive revelation from above, he can trust that man and do something with him. When it's revealed to him, because he said, no man can reveal this but my Father. Amen. God has to trust us then with revelation. God has to trust us with his word. Oh, I want him to trust me tonight. Amen. Again, he says in the message he was to pass this way. He says, don't you be afraid to ask God for anything, for he is more willing to give it than you are to receive it. Yeah, right. How many of you come here sick tonight? Right. Raise your hand. One person. That's wonderful. That's a short prayer line for sick. Amen. One person. Do you know God wants to heal you more than you want it? How many want, desire something from God tonight? Maybe a spiritual problem or something you need to be set free from or something you want God to give you more of. How many of you would say, I have something. Now be honest with me. He wants to give it to you more than you're willing. No, willing to receive it. Isn't that tremendous? Then I say, God, change my mind to where I'll be just as willing as you are. Why is he that way? Because he's a parent. He is a parent, and that's that strain of parenthood. Amen. He says, if we can just get that little shadow wiped away to know that he's willing to do it. That's what Satan fights so hard is here. Fight your mind all night long trying to keep you distracted or tell you you're not worthy of it or you're not able to have enough faith to receive it. He said, if you can get that wiped away, God is willing to give it to you more than you're willing to receive it. Because you're his children. He loves you. We like to minister and do good things for our children. And how much more he, because that's the very strain of parenthood, of parents to your children, amen, that come from God. Because he's the father of us all. And he loves you. And he wants to do it for you. if he can just get us lined up with his blessings. Amen. If he can just get me lined up with his blessings. Again, he says, God has to find somebody that he can trust, somebody he can have confidence in, and can have confidence in God, and that can believe him. You believe that? God has to find somebody who he can put his confidence in, and when he finds such a man that he can put his confidence and his power in, a man that'll follow the road, that'll stay on the map, and go right on till he comes to the place of power, faith will lead him to that because he's got faith in the Word. You know what the place of power is, brother and sister? The power is already here. You know what the power is? Character.
Yes.
The character of God. See, they didn't understand Jesus. They didn't understand why he operated the way he did. He could have healed so much more than what he actually did. But he said, I only do what my Father shows me. Amen. Amen. When he went to the Pool of Siloam and all of these much worse cases that are laying there, he only went to the man that had the infirmity. So what we're talking about then, we're talking about a relationship with the Lord, and we're talking about our interaction with him. That's the world he loves. That's the world he died for. God is looking for someone to believe him and walk with him and love him enough to take him at his word. You know, we live in a time that people are not willing to take God at his word because they're not willing to surrender their own idea. They're not willing to surrender themselves up to the Word of God. It's hard. So it puts them at odds with the very one who created them and is willing to get in them and is willing to live through them. What the world wants is a God at their disposal. They want a God to save them from hell. They want a God that they can come to and claim as their own, but let them live any way they want to. Isn't that truth? We want him when we're sick. We want him in emergency. We want him to escape damnation. But we don't want him in our lives as constant fellowship. Because when that happens, it's no longer you, but it's Christ living in you. Praise the Lord. Do you love the Lord? The Bible says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But Paul said, but we have the mind of Christ. So it takes the mind of Christ to understand the Word. Is that true? Not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. That's why all the blogs and everything else is foolishness. Because it's not the Spirit of God trying to understand the Word. So that's not even my argument. So what is needed, what God wants, is a people that are teachable, not a people that count the things that are spiritual as foolishness. That's the spirit of the age. You know, you're going to leave here and say, you know what, that guy reads a lot out of the Scripture and reads a lot out of the prophet. Well, at least you know where I'm getting it from, all right? I dealt with a lady one time, and she come to our church, and it was in the before service. She was reading about the serpent seed. Next thing I know, she bolted the church, and our church is out in the country, and so, amen, she's gone. She's out of there. We don't know where she's at. She's left the church, and she's walked. She's left, and we're miles out in the country, so we had to go up and down the road looking for her, and finally I found her up in the woods by somebody's house, and she was so angry with me. I went over. I tried to deal with her gently, sister, and she said, don't call me sister, so I didn't really know what to call her. But anyway, so I'm saying, well, at least can you come back to the church? It's dangerous over here. We need to get you back over here. And she goes, you know what? Somebody needs to expose you people. Somebody needs to show what kind of cult you're in. And she's gone crazy on me. And I said, sister, it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. I said, well, I don't know if I said sister, but I said, ma'am, it's okay. I said, my dad was just like you. He hated this message with all his heart. He hated it. In fact, he said, if Brother Bram's in heaven, I don't want to go. That's foolish. I want to go if the Pope's there. I do. Some people say, if Pope goes, I'm not going. No, I want to go because that means he come the right way. All right. Amen. Let's not make foolish statements. But he said, if Brother Branham's in heaven, I don't want to go there. And he destroyed all of Brother Branham's material that my mother had gathered in the house and did everything he could for years to get her out of this message. And so I'm walking up to the church and I said, ma'am, I said, my dad was just like you. He hated this message. He said, I don't want to be there if Brother Branham's there. She says, bless his heart, bless his heart. And I said, he's the one that built that church. So I understand that God can change a person. Hallelujah. Because that's what he's in. I'm a product of that. I'm a product of somebody standing on the truth and saying, I'm not going to change if it means my marriage, if it means my children. I'm going to stay with the Word. She stayed with the Word. God honored the Word because that's a character that is willing to be molded by the things of God. Hallelujah. That's what God is looking for. Hallelujah. So what is needed then is a people that are teachable, not a people that count things that are spiritual as foolishness. We've come into an age where people just want to be entertained. We're far beyond that. Amen. The spirit of the age wants to be entertained. But they see no need to live by God's principles. Look around you. Look at the things that the nominal world is arguing over and trying to get right in their church. It's a million miles from the truth, church. Amen. But rather, it's we live what we want. God will understand. He understands us. Well, he understands that you don't believe him. That's what he understands. But if God can get a person that will believe in him, he'll move in that person and fulfill his own word through that person. Then that person themselves become the very revelation of what God is doing. Amen. It's not trying to argue about what's on paper. It's seeing the vindication. Let me read that scripture again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. That's the condemnation. It's not God condemning somebody. It's them condemning themselves because they love darkness rather than light. That's why it's so nice to try to choose a church that won't preach holiness or choose a church that allow you to do whatever you want and still be called by the name of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? We can do that in this age. Don't make you a Christian though, does it? Hallelujah. Amen. So they want a non-judgmental Christ. But he didn't come to condemn. But his very coming brought the separation between light and darkness. And men condemn themselves because they love the darkness more than the light. So what is it? Their very light is proving the judgment. Their very life, the very life they live, proves their judgment. But the true seed will come to the light so that they might be made manifested. You want to come like you are because you want to know the truth. Amen. You come like you are because there's something hungering you to be right with God. Amen. Can anybody say I agree with that? Amen. That word, amen, that would reprove them, amen, is a salve to you. Because you see it lining your life up. How do you know? Listen, we're not sitting here wondering, I hope I make the rapture. I hope I'm part of this move of God. No, no. Your very life and hunger, you're a part of it already because it's changing you into that. You've already started your change.
Amen.
It's true. It's what he said. But then who did he come to save? Who did he come to save? What is the world he loves? Amen. The angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, fear not to take unto you Mary, your wife. Said she'll bring forth a son. You'll call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people.
Yes. Amen.
From their sin. So who did he come to save? His people.
Amen.
That's the world he loves. That's the world he died for. Hallelujah. So what we have is God coming a certain way and his people receiving the way he comes and following him. And of course it's always a very few that see how he comes and recognize their day and his message. Very few. He don't change. Amen. So this is what God desires. He said, these things that I do, when he was on earth, this is what he said, greater shall you do, for I go unto my Father. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe, you receive them, you shall have them. That's the Creator speaking. He said, then it doesn't lay in him. it lays in us. Then we, in fellowship, what Adam had lost in the fall, Christ restored in His death. Do you believe that? To bring man back into fellowship with God. Amen. So now, the church has moved up to that fellowship with God, which is communion, like Adam had in the beginning in the garden, to take all sin away, free from condemnation, the Holy Spirit cleansing us from all sin, and now you're free to exercise the next step in God. What is the next step in God that you're free to exercise? I hope I have the liberty here to say these things. What I see with people, and I've seen it in our assembly too, what I see with people is they're always trying to establish that their sins are forgiven. Well, you're quiet. They're always trying to establish their sin is taken away. That's fine. That's good. But when we're always trying to do that, it's because we're doubting that we are. Amen. We are doubting that we are. Being forgiven gives us the confidence to go on to the next step. And that is to exercise the promise of God. When a church is trying to always establish. Now forgive me. I want to clarify this. I believe in being forgiven, all right? Amen. Don't anybody leave here without talking to me first if you get it the wrong way. Amen. But when a church is always trying to establish that their sins are taken away, that means they still have the sin question. The purpose of the cross was redemption was to buy back and to settle the sin question forever. Amen. The prophet said, past sins, present sins, future sin.
Glory.
We are taught to come boldly to the throne of grace.
Thank you.
Amen. Now, I want you to understand, that doesn't mean we're not dealing with sin. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm talking about is your personal faith in a living God and the faith that we as a believer exercise in His grace. When Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, be moved, and do not doubt in your heart, it will be done. Who's He talking to? He's not talking to somebody that has a sin question. Amen. How about you? Is the sin question settled tonight? Or is there something in your life still condemning you because you haven't been willing to give it up? Let me tell you, that's a sin question.
All right.
But if you have surrendered yourself to God, listen, tell you, amen, there's a man who can live so close to God, the prophet said, the devil said, I don't know what to do with him anymore. You know why? The mind can't get to you. You're not sitting here tonight with your mind a million miles away, wondering and worrying and wondering and worrying. No, your mind and heart is settled on the Word. You know it is forever settled in heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's a man who can live so close to God, the devil says, I don't know what to do with him. I've tried this, I've tried that, I've tried this, I've tried that. I don't know what to do with him. Where are you at tonight?
Right.
Amen. We want people that are bold with the grace of God to say, I know where I stand.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. This is when he says, you shall have them. Who's he talking to again? That's a very crucial question. He's not talking to somebody with a sin question. He's talking to somebody that has entered into God's rest. Somebody knows where they stand with God. He's talking to someone who's come into that fellowship with God and has the mind of Christ. Are you with me? So there's a world that God loves, and there's a world that He died for. When Jesus came, the first time He made this statement, He said, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay His head. Now, isn't that a strange reply that He's making to somebody that says, I will follow you wherever you go? That's what He said that for. I have no place to lay my head. What would your reaction be to that statement? What was He saying? He's talking about the humility of His coming. But I also want you to look at it this way. He said, what is the place of my rest? He said, howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temple made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. And what house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest?
Amen.
He has a place of rest. Again, the scripture says, Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So what did he say? I lay in Zion. And Zion is the bride. Israel couldn't attain it by the law, couldn't attain the law of righteousness because they sought it not by faith, but by works. But God promised, I will be in Zion. And this rock is a hymn that whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed or confused. He won't be confused. So we don't have to be confused today. When we live in such an age of confusion, when people are wondering, well, is the message true or not, or what? And it's such a spirit of torment that Satan just tries to get and anoint the minds of the people with. I've had to deal with it in my church where they come to the altar, scream at the top of their lungs because they're tormented by what's in their families, and Satan has got them in such a confusion now. But there's a rest to enter into. Hallelujah. Amen. So Peter described the rock of offense as precious. So these offenses are precious. For he is to us a precious stone, but unto the world a stumbling stone, because they stumble at the word, being disobedient to it. So again, these things are not a surprise to us to see the great swelling dissatisfaction that we're facing now, because it's a rock of offense. They try to change it. They try to make it fit their current views. But we must realize God will never send a message that will make people comfortable.
That's right.
I'm glad of that, aren't you?
Amen.
He'll never make it some easy thing to fit into their life. The message was never sent for us to change it. It was sent to change me. So we must not revise it to fit the wants of the people. Because now we are living in a generation don't want holiness. This is just our first night, so we're all getting acquainted with one another. Maybe you'll never come back. I don't know. Apologize to you beforehand. But we live in an age they don't want holiness. They don't want to be obedient to the word. They don't want to recognize what God has done in this hour. We more readily defend those that speak against the truth than those that stand for the truth. This world is led by emotion, not by the word. And you know why we do that? Because the curse of denomination has come into the ranks.
Right.
We look like denomination, we act like denomination, we speak like denomination. That's not the world God loves. God loves His people who are not ashamed of that stone. So this world that He died for is what this message is. So I just want you to follow this thought with me just a little bit longer. It won't hold you much longer. What did He die for, and what is the world that God loves? Remember, on the seventh day, the Bible says He ceased from His labors and He rested. But that's not given in the sense that God was tired and needed to relax and was sleeping, because the scripture says He neither slumbers nor sleeps, right? So what was He doing in the seventh day? He was working in Eden. He was working in man. Who was He resting in? He was resting in Adam. Adam now, amen, was revealing who God was, because Adam now is God of the earth. God brought the animals to Adam to see what He would name them. And then not only that, out of Adam He brought a wife and brought her to Adam to give her identification. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. So God wasn't something somewhere not doing anything. He was doing things. He was working, but He was resting. And who was He resting in? He was resting in His Son. Amen. And so what was His Son? Brother Branham says man was created for God. Man was to be His temple. Man was the place of God's rest. That's what he said. So Adam then revealed God. He was the mystery of God revealed. Then God brings the woman out of Adam. And Adam says, she's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Now she's revealing Adam. Amen. So Adam reveals God, and the woman reveals Adam. That's the title of the message. Christ is the mystery of God revealed, and we are the mystery of Christ revealed. Isn't that true? So now notice this. It is at the time that the woman come forth is when that revealing was taking place. That's when the serpent comes on the scene. So the very move of the serpent was to take away the judgment of God's word when he said, surely you're not die. He took away the consequence of her deception. Isn't that the hour we live in? But what happened? Adam took her quickly unto himself and he placed a seed there because God could not destroy that seed. And when Jesus came, he experienced the full range of human emotion and weakness as well. What for? To step out to become your sin that you might become the righteousness of God. Now there I am back at the sin question again. All right? He said, he became sin so that you could become the righteousness of God. The prophet said, you cannot accept the first one if you cannot accept the second one. Hallelujah. So I accept that he became me. He experienced, brother and sister, the full range of human weakness and emotion. You know, Jesus Christ knows what it's like to fall and need human assistance to be picked back up.
That's right.
Do you know he does? He did. On the way to Calvary, he becomes so weak under the load that he fell on the ground. And it just so happened there was Simon there. The Romans said, help him. And they went. He's laying on the ground. And they go over there and he picks up the cross. He knows what it's like, brother and sister, to be weak. He knows what it's like to experience the full range of your human weakness. And if he would need assistance, he would know you would need assistance. He's providing it to you tonight. He provides to you through the ministry of the word. He provides to you what God has given you in this hour. He just wants you to accept it. Hey, listen. What you have been through in life is not an excuse not to serve him. We're dealing with people of troubled times and children of troubled times. I know that we deal with horrible, horrible circumstances. But there's not one of them, amen, that was ordained to keep you from seeing the truth. That excuse is not enough. Lest I make no light of what you've been through. But he experienced the full range of human weakness. And he's laying on the ground. And here's this black man helps him up. Helps him bear the load. Do you think God ever forgot that, brother and sister? He never, ever forgot it. Until finally, one day over here in Jonesboro, Arkansas, Brother Branham is out there in them meetings. And he said, there's a little black girl got lost in the crowd. She's blinded. Is that right? She's walking, screaming, somebody help me find my daddy. Somebody help me find my daddy. And Brother Branham said he went over and got in the way of her. And when she come up, she bumped against him. And he began to question her, ask her, why are you here? She said, I heard about God healing another man. Said, I know if God would do that for him, he would do that for me. Brother Branham began to question her faith. Do you really believe that? And she said, I'll tell you what, if you take me to that preacher, I'll find my daddy myself. She had faith in what God was doing at that moment. Oh, if you also tonight can believe, amen, it's not something yesterday, it's here now.
Amen.
Brother Bam said, maybe I'm the one you're looking for. She grabbed him by the lapels of his jacket and said, are you the healer? He says, no, but God is. And she screamed out. You know what Brother Bam did? He just prayed a simple prayer. You know what he prayed? He said, Lord Jesus, 2,000 years ago, you fell under the load. And here's Simon. He helped you pick up that cross. Said, here's one of his race.
Right.
Amen. He said, Lord, I'm sure you understand. He said, that's all it took. Because God understands.
Amen.
Amen, church. He understands tonight.
Amen.
Oh, I'm so glad he does. Because he became the full range of sin.
Right.
He wasn't a sinner, but he became sin. So that you might become the righteousness of God. Now, it's wonderful to scream out, I've been forgiven. But to become the righteousness of God is to have that character of Christ. So as Christ manifested who God was, so does the bride of Christ manifest who he is. First, it was God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Now it's Christ in you reconciling the world unto Christ. That's his purpose. That you would live so close to God that people would want whatever it is in your life. You know, I had a question the other day. Young sister come to me, bit new. We just baptized her not real long ago. And she asked, now what do I do? What do I do? Should I go try to just always talk to my parents, talk to this? I said, sister, you live the life. Be salty. Because word without character is just going to destroy.
But word with character is going to save. Where are you at tonight, brother and sister? Amen. Amen. Do you love the Lord? So let me just finish here with Moses. I know I've seemed like I've went in a big circle tonight, but it's on purpose. I want to read to you about Moses and see how much his life was a prefigure of Christ. And you'll see why the Spirit spoke to him. Moses wrote down in Deuteronomy 18, he said, "The Lord your God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like me. Unto him shall you hearken." Did you ever think of that statement? That inspiration would speak and say, the one that's going to come, the Messiah, is going to be like you. How could God say that about a mere man? Because a man had so surrendered himself to God. Now we come to Exodus 32. And what makes it so beautiful, brother and sister, is that we can take all the people of God and find Christ in their life.
Amen.
Isn't that true? And we can show it. We can see it in your life. Christ was in their lives. They didn't even know why. They didn't even know why. And so for the bride, we see the same in her. She's fulfilling the New Testament, which is showing the union between Christ and his bride. So now let's notice the scripture that we read all the way back at the beginning. That when the people of God are waiting for Moses to come back down from the mountain, they don't know what's going on up there, but God is revealing himself. The cloud, he's speaking to him. They can only speculate. And they show that they cannot stay with the prophet and what he has showed them because he's delayed. And in that delay, they corrupted themselves and they went into idol worship. Even true people of God fell into that trap. So we want to realize that when God is revealing his word, Satan is also enticing as well. Happened in the Garden of Eden. And if people leave the word of the prophet, they're making an idol. That's what happens.
That's right.
So the test of God was for Moses. God had made Moses this way for a reason, just like he's made you. And there were ways that he expected Moses to act. He expected Moses to disagree with what he was telling him. Do you know that? We read it, Exodus 32. He said, "Let me alone. Your people, Moses, has corrupted themselves." Oh, I love this part. He showed Moses to let him alone. It shows the closeness of their relationship, that if Moses would not leave him alone, God would listen to him. You know why? God had trained him well. He had trained him how to pick up things that he's thrown down.
That's right.
Amen. And Brother Branham said, "I often wondered." Can we just go back and read that scripture?
Amen.
You preach an hour here? Okay. I've been an hour and 10 minutes. Hallelujah. Because you had specials. Amen. Hey, just, hey, we're all in it together. Amen. This scripture means so much to me here. Exodus 32. "The Lord said unto Moses, get thee down, for thy people have corrupted themselves. They have turned out of the way quickly, which I commanded. They have made them a molten calf and worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot." Why was God telling him, "Let me alone"? Because he knew he was talking to a son, and he knew what a son would do. This is not God, amen, telling Moses, "Now you get out of my way, I'm going to go kill these people." No, this is God testing him.
All right.
And his character.
Amen.
You know what Moses did? He turned right around to God and said, "They're not my people, they're your people."
Amen.
What an argument they had up there on the mountain. "I'm not the one that brought them out. If you remember, God, I tried to get out of it. I said, I can't do it. They're your people."
Amen. And if you do what you say you're going to do, Egypt is going to know that you can't keep your promise. You promised it to the fathers. Amen. Now look at the test he's given him. And every preacher, every person alike, every person in the message comes to this test. Whether you're going to make yourself something, or you're going to be what God has called you to be. Because this is the test of Moses. Moses, you get out of the way, I'll kill those people, and I'll raise up a seed from you. And it'll be your people. Moses, I'm going to make you something. I'll make you something. But the humility and character of Moses says, no, God, they're your people. And if you do what you're saying, they'll know that you don't keep your word. You know what? That's the world God loves. People that act like him. Brother Bam said, I often wondered, how did Moses do that? How could he tell God something different than what God was telling him until I realized it was Christ in Moses throwing himself in the gap? And if it's Christ in Moses, that's God's own spirit.
Amen.
Just acting like him.
Amen.
That's what God expects a son to do.
Amen.
All you say, that means, Brother Danny, that they can do what they want and we just love them to death. No. They had to deal with the sin. They had to eradicate it from the camp. They had to separate it from Israel. There has to be a separation from unbelief. They had to separate it from Israel. But the thing was, God, the test of God, the world God loves, is Moses refused that chance to make it about him.
All right.
Brother and sister, your prophet taught you this message wasn't about him. He was the messenger of it. And his character so displayed that. Brother Lyniel sang about it. Eliezer, tell me more.
Amen.
I didn't marry Eliezer.
Amen.
Eliezer brought me to Christ.
Amen.
Amen, church. And listen, the world God loves is people that so submit themselves to the Word of God that they can, when God, it seems like he would say something totally different. But he didn't. He was saying, this man's going to react. Like I would act.
Amen.
Oh, brother and sister, if I can so surrender myself. I'm not telling you something you can't do. I'm telling you what you are.
Amen.
What we are called by God. Hallelujah. And Brother Branham says, one day God was going to take the whole thing, a group out, start with Moses and raise a new generation. And Moses, here is the power of a believer. He throwed himself in the breach and says, God, don't cross over me. I'm standing in the gap for those people down there. Can I challenge you tonight? Where are you at in your relationships with those around you? Listen, you've had family leave. You had people turn their back on you, curse you. What has it done to you? What has it done to you? It's hard to take. But oh God, let me keep my spirit clean.
Amen.
Let me keep it fresh. And say, Lord, let me stand in the gap and say, don't cross over me. Can we do that? Again, he said, there was another one that puzzled me, that when Moses could tell God a better way than what God knew how to do anything. And Moses said, the people would say your God was able to bring you out, but not able to keep you. And he threw himself in the breach. And later I found out that was Christ standing for the people. Don't you love him tonight? I can think of one more. I can think of Abraham when he's down there. Lot has left him. Lot's not following him. Lot won't even come back to him. And Lot's in sin. He's a carnal believer. Lot knows about the message, but he's not willing to follow it. But you know, when the angels came, amen, and there said, judgment's going to strike. You know what Abraham did? Him and the Lord went out and looked down at Sodom, and he began to beseech the Lord. Lord, if there be 50... will you not destroy Sodom? And you know what? The power of believer before God said, I won't destroy it for 50. He worked him down to 10. I won't destroy it for 10. And you know what the scripture says? God left off talking to him. Why did God stop the conversation? The power of a believer before God to be an intercessor. Not a destroyer. Brother and sister, it's easy to get in the flesh, start talking about one another. But what we see
If what God ordained Moses to do, and it was a test of God for his character, it's also a test for us in this hour. It's a hard hour. I trust this is all right. Amen. You live up here in a battleground, but this battleground's everywhere. Amen. And it pushes on every one of us. How are you going to react to it? You going to take the time to just go ahead and slay their character? Let me tell you, God will manifest that. But let me stand like Moses and say, God, clean my spirit up. Let me speak only as what you would speak. Brother and sister, this was the first meeting. Now, if God deals with one person on this, it's enough. Because he don't want nothing else to hinder the rest of the meeting. He wants our spirit clean. He wants it fresh. He wants it exuberant in the things of God. I'm not worried about what all these others said. I'm a product of something. That happened a long time ago in my family. I can remember my daddy says, don't follow what your mama believes. He's telling us not to believe what mom believes. It didn't work. In fact, what my mama believed was so strong, he believed it. You know what? Because God honors his word. Amen. I'm a product of that. If it's of God, they're come. If they're not, they can't come no matter how much you throw in their path. So you just make sure you stand as an intercessor. Amen. Let's close our eyes, bow our heads. Amen. Hallelujah. Every head bowed. Let's just think just a moment. Lord Jesus, this was the first service. There's always, Father, people get used to one another, look around. The first meeting, the newness of the meeting, all these things are on our mind. Lord God, I wonder tonight, you know the heart of the people, and you know why, Lord, that you even laid this on my heart. Brother Branham said that I wondered why I had to go through what I went through, losing my family. I didn't know what to do. But he said, today I could see it was all working for my good. I knew that the life had to be grounded and twisted and squeezed to get what was in it out. There was too much of Branham in there that had to be squeezed out before God could make himself known. There's too much of you in you till God had to squeeze it out through trials. I wonder if there's honest hearts that would say, Lord, I want to be that intercessor that I've heard about tonight. Just like Moses was. It wasn't that he told God something different. It was he acted the way God expected him to act. His action so mirrored Christ. Amen. Till he could act just like God. Lord, you saw the hand that was raised. I wonder if we can just be honest tonight and say, Father, I stand before you. Cleanse me. Wash me with the water of the word. Thank you, Father, for those hands. I pray you honor the sincere heart beneath that hand. The world God loves. The world that he loves is people that walk like him, that talk like him, that act like him. The story of Moses fascinated me, Lord, because I could see that you liked how Moses interacted with him. Here's a man talking back to you as a man. You called him your friend. And these people before me, Father, you call your bride.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And Father, the prophet said that little quote. He said, every promise is yes. If they've raised their hand for it tonight, it's a yes. Amen. Maybe there's relationships in their life has got so twisted up through the battles that have come. Maybe ill will has crept in or grudge. May it be clean tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. We're committed to you. We'll commit this service to you, speaking of it and the hearing of it for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we just sing chorus a cappella, then we'll turn it over to you, Brother Nathan. I love him. I love him because he first loved me. God bless you tonight. I love you with the love of the Lord. I love
He first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary. And Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name. That's the reason why I love Him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. One more time. I love Him. I love Him. Because He first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Let's just sing it again and worship to Him. Oh, I love you. Love Him tonight. Oh, I love Him because He first loved me. On Calvary's tree. What about you tonight? Brother Danny talked about the story. Brother Branham, those children, those young people that was making a mockery in the service and even living immorally, trying to make out and everything in the service, and he put them in his hands, said, what will you do with them? What will you do with them? What would you have done? What would you do if he brought some of the defectors in tonight and said, here they are, what will you do with them? They're yours, what will you do with them? They're in your hands. Could you have forgiveness? Could you cry like him, Father, forgive them? Or would you cry judgment upon them? What would you do? It's not an easy decision sometimes. It's not our place to judge. God will bring judgment. Like Brother Danny said, if they're not his, then they won't be there. There's no chance for them to be there. But if they are his, how dare we try to put our hands to him in judgment if there's still hope for any of them? Amen. I want to stand like Moses. God, if they're your people, then don't go in against them. If they're not his, then there'll be an end to that anyhow. Their fruits will be made manifest and be made known. What a scary age that we live in. What a scary time that we live in. And all we can do is just, God, like Brother Danny said tonight, help my spirit to be right. Help my spirit to be right. Help my attitude to be right. Even if they're wrong, even if they hate us, even if they speak evil against us, help my spirit and my attitude to be right. We don't have to agree with them, not by any means, but can we keep our spirit right? Even in bitter disagreements, to be able to say, Lord, I don't know. They may have sinned their grace away, but if not, Lord, if you can still come on the scene, then come on the scene for some of those that can be. Can you have the right spirit tonight? You know, we sometimes try to do it all ourselves. We try to do all the works for God. We're going to straighten everybody out, line everybody out, do everything for God. Sometimes He just wants us to just sit still and be quiet and let Him do the work. He'll work it all out. This is Labor Day weekend, but our Bible tells us, therefore, there remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest He also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. There's many falling by that same example of unbelief, but it's not my job to go out and prove everybody wrong. It's my job. My only labor that I have to do is just to labor to enter into rest. Sounds odd, doesn't it? Sounds like an oxymoron. Labor to enter into rest. But that's really all we should be. We shouldn't be laboring to try to figure it all out, try to prove everybody wrong, try to show that we're the big shot or whatever. Labor to enter into rest. Amen. Is that your desire tonight? I don't have a song leader, but I'm going to recruit one tonight. Brother Lennie wrote a song that I wanted to come and sing. I hadn't planned on doing this tonight, but the Lord just laid it on my heart to do it this way. And there's a sister that just passed away recently. Some of the family, some of her family's here tonight. And Sister Sarah Bedere, this song was a comfort to her during a time when the doctors had given up hope on her. She said, all is well. All is well. Even in death, she testified that all is well. Amen. Can you testify that tonight? Whatever you're going through, whatever the trial, whatever the situation, it may look dark, it may look grim. I know there's many facing very hard situations in their life, family things and financial things and spiritual things, but all is well. All is well. God's got it all under control. You know what? When these people left the message, he didn't fall off the throne. As I say, when Obama got elected, he didn't fall off the throne. He knew it was going to happen. Might have shocked some of us, but he knew it was going to happen. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, it didn't shock God off the throne. He didn't have to rewrite the plan of redemption. He already had it all worked out. He's got it under control tonight. All is well, little bride, so you can rest for all is well. Would you come and sing it, Brother Lillian?
You do it.
There's a story in the Bible of Elisha, Shunammite woman and her son. The woman found favor with God, and he gave her a son. While working in a field, the little boy had died, but the woman's faith never failed. Even in death, she testified that
circumstance, whatever the trial, we've heard the message. With them tonight, beyond that inner veil. All is well. Yes, all is well. For we have heard this message alone. Right, all is well. You see, there is a place, a perfect rest behind the me more like thee, oh Jesus, may. Is that your desire tonight? Brother Bram said, if there's a deep calling to the deep, there's something out there for you. Oh, just give me a heart that's desire tonight, then there's more of God for you to have. Let's sing it to Him. Oh, just make me more. That's our desire tonight, Father. Oh, Jesus, make, oh, make me more like Thee. Yes, Father. And just give Father, Lord, we just ask you tonight, take away anything that would be unpleasing to you, Father. Any little rough edge in our life, Father, any desire that would be unpleasing to you, any thought, Lord, any line of thought that would be unpleasing to you, Father, that, Lord, maybe we've gone through all the emotions like Brother Danny said, maybe we've been upset, maybe we've been angry, maybe we've been discouraged or depressed, Father, but Lord, just take all that away from us and just give us that mind of Christ. Give us a peace, Father, that passes understanding, Lord. Help us to recognize tonight, Lord, the wheels are turning just right. None of these things that have happened, Lord, they haven't upset your plan. But, Lord, the wheels are turning just right. Help us, Father, to lay aside every weight, every sin, every doubt, anything that would keep us out of rhythm with the turn, Father. But just help your little bride tonight to enter into that turn of the Word. Lord, to get in that rhythm, Lord, with the composer. That, Lord, whenever you would speak, whenever you would write a note, Father, that the bride would just hit that note just in tune, Father. Not with our lips, but with our lives, Father, that we would live out, Lord, the great drama that you've written, Father, that we with our lives could live every promise, every verse, every line, Father. We wouldn't lay aside a portion and try to make our life fit in, Lord, or your word try to fit us. But, Lord, may we just lay our life down for you, that our lives could fit the word, Father. Lord, you cut out a pattern in this age, and help us, Lord, mold us and make us into your image so we fit that pattern for the age, for the word that you've given, Father. Help us not to be lacking in any form of it, Father. But help us to yield ourselves, our thinking, our will, our desires, everything in us, Father. Help us to yield it to you tonight, Father. Make us, mold us into your image, into the image of the Heavenly Father. Lord, to where sometimes we get so earthbound and our thinking is such in line with this earth, Father, but help us to get so heavenbound, Father, and our thinking so much like you. To where, Lord, we don't even seem a part of this world anymore, Father. To where we're a little closer to your house. To where you can just tell us one day like Enoch, just come on up, child. You're closer here anyhow. Lord, just help us to get so sick of this Laodicea condition that the people live in. Father, lukewarm, lazy, just tossed about with every wind of doctrine. And Lord, just letting down on standards. Help us, Lord, to raise the standard in this age. Help our lives, as Brother Danny said, to be the vindication of this word that went forth. It didn't go forth, Lord, just for tape recorders. It didn't go forth just for bookshelves, but it went forth for lives. Father, your prophet said that was the thunder that shook the devil, was a lived voice. Help us, Father, not just to be able to memorize, or help us not to just be able to recite, but may we speak out a thunder of a lived voice in this age. Even in this dark age, Father, there has to be an overcomer. Lord, help us to be overcomers in Jeffersonville, in New Albany, in Louisville, Sellersburg, Charlestown, wherever it would be, Father. Some here from Florida, some from Tennessee, some from different areas. Help us to be overcomers. Help us to be lights in this evil age, Lord. Make us more like you. That's our desire tonight. Help us to lay aside everything else, but help us to press on to that perfect love your prophet talked about. Help us, Lord Jesus, to stay in such a constant fellowship with you, Lord, to where the things of the world would just fade away. Be with your people tonight, Father, we pray. A heart that's filled with love and make me more like thee. You can have that tonight if that's your desire. Oh, just make me more. Me, Father, Lord, you, Jesus, made me like thee, and just give me a heart that's filled with love, and make me more. Can we just worship him a few more minutes? Let's sing it again. Bless you tonight. Well, this is the first service, so we don't want to keep you all night, so you come back again tomorrow night. Amen. If you can, I know there's some that are traveling and things won't be able to make it, but amen. God be with you till we meet again, and may you just stay in his grace. Stand for the word. It's not popular, but amen, it'll get you where you're going. Amen. I'm not worried about being popular. If I was wanting to be popular, I sure went wrong somewhere, but I want to stand for the word with everything that's within me. Amen. This is a promise tonight, because Brother Bram said that you can't enter these same doors. You can't enter in and then go out the same way that you came. Are you going to go out closer to God, or are you going to go out further away from him? It depends on your attitude to the word. So this is a promise tonight. Oh, you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Oh, bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame. For the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. Hebrews 13:8. Oh, you won't leave here like you came. You believe it tonight? Oh, you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Turn around, shake somebody's hand again. Tormented, sick, or lame. God bless you. You're dismissed. Let's sing it as we go.